طيب الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, we continue after praising Allah سبحانه وتعالى and sending the peace and the blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad. We continue with شرح سورة البقرة, the شرح of Sheikh السعدي رحمه الله. وعليكم السلام. We are currently at verse 94. Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah says, قل إن كانت لكم الدار الآخرة عند الله خالصة من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين ولن يتمنوه أبدا. Excuse me. Yes, thank you. ولن يتمنوه أبدا بما قدمت أيديهم والله عليم بالظالمين. ولتجدنهم أحرص الناس على حياة ومن الذين أشركوا يود أحدهم لو يعمر ألف سنة وما هو بمزحزحه من العذاب أن يعمر والله بصير بما يعملون. Someone can read verses 94 to 96 in English.
Say to them, if the home of the hereafter with Allah is indeed for you, especially in not for others of mankind, then love for them if you are truthful. But they will never look for it because of what their hands have sent before them. And Allah is the knower of the sun and moon. And verily, you will find them, the Jews, the greediest of mankind for life, and even greedier than those who ascribe partners to Allah and do not believe in resurrection, Majus, pagans and idolaters. Every one of them wishes that he could be given of it could be given a life of 1,000 years, but the grant of such life will not save him even in little from due punishment, and Allah is sincere all what they do.
Jazakallahu khairan. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله, أي قل لهم على وجه تصحيح دعواهم أو على وجه تصحيح دعواهم أو دعواهم, إن كانت لكم الدار الآخرة يعني الجنة. Say to them as means of correcting their claim, if you claim that the life, the home of the hereafter, which is Jannah, paradise, خالصة من دون الناس كما زعمتم أنه لن يدخل الجنة إلا من كان هودا أو نصارى. Meaning, if it is as you claim that it is Jannah, paradise is strictly for you, as they said, they will not enter paradise, none will enter paradise unless they are Jews, that's what the Jews claim, and the Christians will claim that none will enter paradise unless they are Christians. Each one of these two religions claim that them and their adherents, their followers, will be the only ones to enter Jannah, and everybody else will be kicked out. أو أن النار وأن النار لن تمسهم إلا أياما معدودة. Or the fact that they claim that the fire will only touch them for a few days, they will only be punished for a few days if they are punished for their sins. فإن كنتم صادقين بهذه الدعوة, if you are truthful regarding this claim, فتمنوا الموت, so wish for death. وهذا نوع مباهلة بينه وبين رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is a kind of challenge between them and the Messenger of Allah. What is easier than that? And if someone says, they're saying that, you know, no one will enter paradise except if he's a Christian. This is dealing with a Christian. And we are this, and we are the children of Allah, we are the ones beloved to Allah, God loves us, blah, 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 blah. Say, okay, so what are you waiting for? Wish for death. I mean, come on, life is miserable compared to the hereafter. And you know, you're not going to have any job in paradise. You don't have to earn money, you don't have to pay for bills, you don't have to deal with your neighbors, you don't have to deal with problems. Paradise is all hassle free. So if you claim that, you know, the only thing that is preventing you from paradise is the fact that you're alive, then you should wish for death. Come on, man, wish you could die so you can already go to paradise. But see, they don't do that. وليس بعد هذا الجاء والمضايق لهم بعد العناد منهم إلا أحد أمرين. There's no escape for them after this kind of, they were cornered right now with this particular challenge from Allah. They were cornered. They have no option after them being stubborn except one of two things. إما أن يؤمنوا بالله ورسوله, either they should believe in Allah and His Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, وإما أن يباهلوا على ما هم عليه بأمر يسير عليهم, or they should meet this challenge, which is something that is very simple for them, wishing for death. وهو تمني الموت. And it is wishing for that الذي يوصلهم إلى الدار التي هي خالصة لهم فامتنعوا من ذلك. Or wishing for death which will take him to the home which they are claiming that has been preserved only for them. But again, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam presented them with this particular challenge, no one came. No one came and wished for death. They will not wish for death. Allah will tell us why in the next verse. فَعَلِمَ كُلُّ أَحَدٍ أَنَّهُمْ فِي غَايَةِ الْمُعَانَدَةِ. So now after they did not meet this challenge, if you claim that paradise is yours, wish for death. They did not wish for death. Now everybody knows that they're just simply stubborn and argumentative. And they're trying to take the opposite side of that of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا عِلْمِهِمْ بِذَلِكْ. While they know that. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ وَالْمَعَاصِ. They will never wish for death. They will never wish for death because they know what they have earned, what they have put forth from through their hands, from disbelief and sins. لأنهم يعلمون أنه طريق لهم إلى المجازات بأعمالهم الخبيثة. Because they know that if death comes upon them, then this is when they will be recompensed or reckoned for the evil deeds that they have put forth. Because of that, they will never wish for death. You know, and let's just make an example. Someone says, let's say you are, you know, the diving, you know, those who dive in the swimming pool, you know, these professional divers. You know, you get one of these guys telling you, you know, this thing, man, I'm the best in the world, man. You know, if I get on this diving board, man, no one can play with me. I will beat all of you guys. You know, I now all this on the land. You know, you're far away from the swimming pool, far away from the diving board. He just talked too much. I said, Tayyib. Then Allah decrees that you actually go finally to the swimming pool and there's a diving board. You tell the guy, okay, now, it's time for you to show us all the talk that you have. Tadbal. Also, no, ma'alish, my leg hurts over here and I don't, you know, today is not, my stomach is this and this. Listen, man. Anyway, what are you doing right now? You know, you've been talking too much that, you know, you are the champ, and now that we're giving you this lovely opportunity to prove to us your skills, now you don't want to do it anymore. So what does that say? That you were a liar earlier. Had you really been the champion, you'd have no problem, man. You come and teach us a lesson and show us that you're really the champion. So similarly, of course this is a funny example, but similarly, this is what is intended. These people say, oh man, Jesus died for my sins. I'm sinless, because I believe in the death of Jesus. I'm going to paradise. Say then, wish for death. What are you doing in this world suffering? Tell this to a poor Christian. Huh? Barely earning a living. What are you doing living? Wish you could die, so you could go to paradise. That just you've been promised. You've been promised this paradise. Jesus died for you. What are you waiting for? Why are you so keen on this life? Why are you so concerned about not dying? Because they're liars. Because they know that if death comes upon them, and you know, no sins are forgiven, because they're not sure. They may believe that this is the path, but they may also know, they may have doubt in their hearts. Is Jesus really gonna, you know, pay for my sins? And when they think of logical things, they will not find anything that will make them feel comfortable about this position. Yani when they look at the world about judge, you know, a judge and a criminal, you know, they never find it where two people commit, you know, murder, and they're twins, for example, and they say, okay, we will just kill your brother. You know, he will just die for you. He will go for your sins. You can go free. He will not accept that in life. But he's willing to accept that against God. He's willing to claim that God went out of his way, went down on earth, was crucified, humiliated, and his blood was shed for him. But he would not accept that his own neighbor, huh? That he will pay the sins for his neighbor. That he will be crucified for his neighbor to go free. He will not accept that. So this doubt in the heart, you know, this is not something that you can believe in with certainty. So this is the kind of challenge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented them with, and there's nothing better than that. So it becomes clear, either you will abandon this falsehood and you follow Allah, you believe in Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or wish for death, man. Ask Allah to take your life away. They never did that. فَالْمَوْتُ أَكْرَهُ شَيْءٍ إِلَيْهِمْ. Death is the most detested and hated thing to them. وهم أحرصوا على الحياة من كل أحد من الناس. And they are more keen on this life than all the other polytheists. يعني even a Hindu or a Buddhist will not be so keen for life like a Jew or a Christian, particularly the Jews. حتى من المشركين الذين لا يؤمنون بأحد من الرسل والكتب. Even the polytheists who do not even believe in any of the messengers or the books, they don't believe in anything. ثم ذكر شدة محبتهم للدنيا. Then Allah described the extent of love they have for this world. Look at this now. Allah, the one who gave them life, is describing how much, يعني this is as accurate as it can be. فقال يود أحدهم لو يعمر ألف سنة. One of them would wish if he could live for 1,000 years. Now, does anyone know more than Allah what his creation feel or think? Hi, Shabab. Does anyone have more knowledge than Allah about the feelings of his creation? No. So when Allah tells you that these people wish they could live for 1,000 years, meaning that's exactly what it is. That is exactly what it is. Because Allah knows what they have in their heart. وَهَذَا أَبْلَغْ مَا يَكُونَ حَرْزِزَ. I mean, come on, 1,000 years, you'll be bored. What are you going to do for 1,000 years over and over again, man? You know, if you really think about it nowadays in our life, you don't want to go for, you know, after 70, 80, you start not understanding. وَعَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Then yeah, then you go back like being a baby again. فَأَتَمَنَّوا حَالَ هِيَ مِنَ الْمَحَالَاتِ. Anyways, they wish for something that is impossible. وَالْحَالَ أَنَّهُمْ لَوْ عَمَّرُوا الْعُمُرَ الْمَذْكُورِ لَمْ يُغْنِ عَنْهُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا دَفَعَ عَنْهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ شَيْئًا. Even if they were to live this life, this will not benefit them in any way, and it would not prevent them from the punishment. So whether they live for 60 years or 1,000 years, when the time comes, then eventually you will meet what you have done. Actually, it is mercy from Allah to them that they do not live this length of life. Because if they, see, the person will be punished according to his deviance and disobedience. So if they were to live 1,000 years disbelieving in Allah and rejecting and sinning against Allah, their punishment will be much more severe than someone who lived for 50 years and disbelieved in Allah and sinned. You see? Both will die as disbelievers, but one would have accumulated more sins than the other. So he will be punished more than the other. So the fact that Allah does not give them that wish of theirs, which is 1,000 years of life, is mercy from Allah to them. Because if they were to live this length and not believe in Allah all these years, then their punishment will be much more severe on the Day of Judgment. You understand the point? Because the brothers, the punishment in the hellfire varies. Huh? It's different. And the pleasure in paradise also varies. They're not the same. A brother who barely made it to paradise will not be treated equally, وعليكم السلام, from someone who strived in his life and earned a higher level of paradise. One will be getting more pleasure and more happiness than the other. Everybody will be happy, but still one will be happier than the other. Likewise, in the hellfire, the people will be at different levels. They say there are 7 different levels of the hellfire. 7 different levels. Each will be punished according to their wickedness. So the hypocrites, for example, will be in the least, lowest part. The most severely punished people are the hypocrites, those who pretended to be Muslims outwardly, but inwardly they were disbelievers. Ah. Because these people have the most damage, and they are liars. And at least a Christian tells you, I'm a disbeliever, I'm a Christian, I don't believe in Islam. But when you get someone telling you, Salaam Alaikum brother, how are you? And inside, he doesn't believe in Islam, this person will be in big trouble on the Day of Judgment. Because he is double-faced, two-faced. He claims to be something, وَعَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ, that he is not. طيب. وَعَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ. وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ تَهْدِيدًا لَهُمْ عَلَى الْمُجَازَاتِ بِعْمَالِهِمْ. And Allah is all-seeing of all the actions. This is a threat from Allah, that be careful. Don't think that Allah does not see what you do. Yani those who claim that they will escape, the disbelievers who know that they are disbelievers rejecting Allah and His Messenger, Allah is reminding them that Allah sees what you do. So where are you going to go? Yani on the Day of Judgment, what kind of excuse are you going to present? No excuse. Because Allah knows what you were thinking, what you were feeling, what you were doing all your life. So there's no running away. If they conceal something in their hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing of it. Wa alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum salam. Ahlan. Close the door, please, sir. Jazakallahu khair. Verse 97. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قل من كان عدوا لجبريل فإنه نزله على قلبك بإذن الله مصدقا لما بين يديه وهدى وبشرى للمؤمنين. من كان عدوا لله وملائكته ورسله وجبريل وميكال فإن الله عدو للكافرين. Can someone kindly read verses 97 and 98 in English from Surah Al-Baqarah?
Say.
897, yes.
Today, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever has enemies in Jibreel, let him die in his funeral. For in the age he has brought in Quran, tells your heart by Allah's permission. For scroll him what came before the Hayy, the Torah and the Injil, Gospel, and guide us in that guidance for the believers. Whoever is an enemy to Allah, his angels, his messenger, his friend, and Mikael, their villages, Allah is an enemy to this place.
Mani, Jazakallah khair. Yaqul al-Shaykh, ay, قل لهؤلاء اليهود الذين زعموا أن الذي منعهم من الإيمان أن وليك جبريل عليه السلام ولو كان غيره من ملائكة الله لآمنوا بك وصدقوا. Now listen to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to these Jews who claimed that the reason why they did not believe in you is because the one who was supporting you was Jibreel, the archangel Gabriel. So the Jews, as it is accustomed to them, always to find excuses of why they do not want to believe, why they want to reject. Like when they were told to slaughter the cow, what kind of cow, where is it? They always have to have issues. They never just go sami'na wa ata'na. They don't have such thing as we listen and we obey, except for a selected few who were good among them. But the majority of them had of this. Now they told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look, the problem, the reason why we don't believe in you is because of Jibreel. Had another angel from Allah, another angel from the angels of Allah come, you know, gave you revelation other than Jibreel, then we would believe in you. But because it is Jibreel, I'm sorry, we cannot believe. Aisha, what are you playing games, man? Who are you to tell Allah who to send? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Jibreel to be the one who delivers the message from Allah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who can come and tell Allah that who, which messenger, which angel to send and which not to send? Is that anything but disbelief? That is very similar to who? Who does this remind you of?
Shaitan.
Satan. Why do I prostrate to him? I'm made out of fire. He's made out of dust. Why? What is this? What is this command here? You see? That's kufr, man. When someone doubts the wisdom of Allah, when someone thinks that Allah Azza wa Jal does things that are against wisdom, then this person does not know who his Lord is. And he's accusing Allah of the worst accusations, that if you were to accuse your professor in university, he will kick you out of the class.
No.
If he were to tell your teacher or your boss or anyone that he has a problem in his understanding, he will fire you ala tul. If it's a professor in university, he will kick you out of the class. Who are you? He may be an idiot, but in his mind, who are you to accuse, to correct me? This kind of mentality. And to Allah belongs the highest example. So if a human being who thinks is better than you does not allow you to accuse him or doubt his wisdom, then how can someone come and tell Allah Jalla A'ala, the one who gave you the brain that you are using to think with? Not that you got your brain from a foreign, from a foreign side. The brain that you're using to use logic, to reason with, is from Allah. Then you want to use it against Allah? To say that this is okay and this is not okay? So this is where a human being really becomes a strange creature. And then you look at the animal, say this cow is better guided than this disbeliever.
No.
This cow is better guided, more guided than this disbeliever. Because the cow was created for what? For me and you to eat it and benefit from it. It doesn't go against that. It submits to Allah. And it remembers Allah. Allah says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. There's nothing except that it glorifies the remembrance of Allah. وَلَكَ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ But you do not understand their glorification. Everything that Allah created glorifies Allah. You just don't know about it. So now the cow is first submitting to Allah. It's doing what it was created for. Service of the human being. And it remembers Allah. The disbeliever does not do what he was created for. He was created for the worship of Allah. He's too busy. Or he's worshiping other than Allah. And he doesn't glorify Allah. Rather, he accuses of Allah of having children, Allah having a mother, you know, Allah becoming a man, and all the things that the non-Muslims accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of. So now this cow became better than the disbeliever. And Allah said this in the Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُ These people are like the cattle, the animal. Nay, they are more astray. More astray than the animal. Yani the animal is better guided than them. Because they are using the brain that Allah gave them. And the body that Allah gave them. And the sustenance that Allah gave them. And everything that they have is from Allah. Then they want to declare war against Allah. They want to use, now you get a, you know, an atheist who tells you that, you know, there's no creator. You know, we came by chance. You know, some molecules coming together, blah, blah, blah. We don't know how. Suddenly we have all of this universe functioning in the way it is functioning today. Say, subhanAllah. How could a human being reach this point? And I've talked to some of these people. Yani, local people. His name is Muhammad. Wallah al-Azim. But he's an atheist now. And when you speak to this person, ya akhi, sometimes, wallah al-azim, your mind gets puzzled, man. Like, what is the matter with you? You know, this is the way you feel. What is wrong with you? Are you serious? Are you serious? And this person is serious, man. He denies the existence of a God. He denies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every way, shape, or form. So then you say, then you read the verses in the Quran, and you see that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this creation. In the most accurate way. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانِ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِن نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ Does Allah says in surah, at the end of Surah Yasin, does not the human being see that we created him from a drop of semen? From a drop of semen. All of a sudden now he's an argumentative contender. Now he wants to contend and argue. وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ And he struck an example for us, and he forgot his own creation. He said, who will give life to this bone after it has been disintegrated? This happened during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man came to him and having an old bone. He said, oh Muhammad, you claiming that your Lord will bring this back to life? Your Lord will bring this back to life. He's using his dumb brain, which told him that now that this thing is old, rotten, there's no way it's going to go back to the original healthy state. وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ Allah gave him the satisfying answer. Say he will bring it back to life, the one who created it the first time. The one who created it the first time. If I was to get this now, cup of coffee, and I was to disassemble it into little pieces, okay? Or if I never had to assemble it before, which one is easier? To reassemble something that I've seen before, it's already there, all I have to do is put pieces together, or to make a brand new one? Making a brand new one is more difficult. Reassembling it is easy. If you have two options, either make a brand new cup, I have to first do this red plastic, I don't know how, I need machines, okay? I have to make this part, it has to be, you know, preserved heat and cold. I have to make the lid, all this. Is that easier or someone giving it to me, disassemble and say, please put it together? Putting it together is easier. So Allah said, this person is troubled with the fact that who will bring this bone back to life? Who made this bone to begin with, the original type? The first time, isn't that easier for Allah to bring something that is rotten? If Allah was able to create something from scratch, isn't that easier than bringing something that is already old? Obviously it is. But the disbeliever understands not. The disbelievers don't understand the most basic of thoughts. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this against them. So they said, because you brought, Jibreel is the one who brought you this Quran, We do not want to. We will not believe in you because of Jibreel. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted them. And it was, if it was another angel from the angels of Allah, we would believe in you and we will accept you. إِنَّ هَذَا الزَّعْمُ مِنْكُمْ تَنَاقُدٌ وَتَهَافُتٌ. This claim of yours is nothing but contradiction. وَتَكَبُّرَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. An arrogance against Allah. فَأَنَّ جِبْرِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ هُوَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ. Because Jibreel is the one who sent down the Qur'an from Allah upon the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَنْزِلُ عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ قَبْلَكَ. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزَّلُ عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ قَبْلَكَ. And he's the one who was sent to the prophets before you. وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي أَمَرُهُ. And it is Allah who commanded him. وَأَرْسَلَهُ بِذَلِكَ فَهُوَ رَسُولٌ مَحْدٌ. And it is Allah who commanded him and sent him as a messenger, so he is nothing but a messenger. So don't attribute the issue to Jibreel, because when you are having an issue with Jibreel, then you're really having an issue with Allah. Because Jibreel is just a messenger of Allah, a slave of Allah, and Allah sent Jibreel. So when you cannot reject Jibreel, when you reject Jibreel, you're rejecting the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see how this is kufr? مع أن هذا الكتاب الذي نزل به جبريل مصدقا لما تقدمه من الكتب. Although this book that the Jews are claiming that they don't want to believe in Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم because Jibreel was his one aiding him, this book that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was given, it confirmed the books before it, the Old Testament, the Torah, and the Gospel of Jesus. غير مخالف لها ولا مناقض. It does not oppose it. It does not contradict it. And this is a fact. Now, the problem is that what we have today, which is the Bible, is not really the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is some remainings. And still in the remainings, you will find that they are in total agreement with the teachings of Islam, as you have already all familiar with. The verses from the Bible that are in total harmony with Islam. Like the first commandment, and the fact that Jesus did not come to bring a new law, and you know, many of the things that you know are Islamic. You will find a contradiction occurring in the statements of human beings, not those of Jesus. In the writings of Paul and the likes, and not that of Jesus. So otherwise, the Quran affirmed what Jesus was given as a gospel, which we don't have. And what Moses was given as a Torah, which we also don't have. We only have some remainings of them. And in these remainings, we still manage to find harmonious verses and teachings with Islam. وفيه الهداية التامة من أنواع الضلالات. This Quran has guidance from every kind of deviance. والبشارة بالخير الدنيوي والأخروي لمن آمن به. And it gives glad tidings for the worldly and the worldly benefit and the hereafter, and the benefit in the hereafter to whomever believes in it. فالعداوة لجبريل الموصوف بذلك كفر بالله وآياته. So whomever has animosity against Jibreel is disbelieving in Allah and His signs. وعداوة لله ولرسله وملائكته. And he is having animosity against Allah and his angels and his messengers. طيب. فإن عداوتهم لجبريل لا لذاته بل لما ينزل به أو ينزل به من عند الله من الحق. So their animosity is not against Jibreel individually. Rather, it is against whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending with him from the truth. عَلَى رُسُلِ اللَّهِ. Upon the messengers of Allah. فَيَتَضَمَّنُ الْكُفُرُ وَالْعَدَاوَ لِلَّذِي أَنْزَلَهُ وَأَرْسَلَهُ. So this entails animosity against the one who sent him and the one who sent him down and the message that he was sent with. وَالَّذِي أُرْسِلَ بِهِ. And the message and everything that he also had from the message. يعني, if they disbelieve in Jibreel, and they have animosity against Jibreel, then they automatically have animosity against the one who sent Jibreel, which is Allah, the one who received the message, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the message itself, which is Quran, Islam. So their disapproval of Jibreel is disapproval of all of these three, because they are all interconnected. You cannot separate them. فَهَذَا وَجْهُ ذَلِكَ. This is why they consider to be disbelievers. وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. Verse 99, please, in English. Yes, sir.
And indeed, we have sent down to you manifest ayat, this verses of the Quran which inform in details about the news of the Jews and their secret intentions, etc. And not disbelieve in them, but passing on. those horrible elements Allah's command.
يقول لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم ولقد أرسلنا إليك آيات مبينات آيات بينات تحصل بها الهداية لمن استهدى. So Allah سبحانه وتعالى is telling the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, we have sent upon you signs that are clear and manifest that bring about guidance to the one who seeks guidance, and this is very important. The Quran is guidance. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى But to who? لِلْمُتَّقِينَ هُدَى, it's guidance, but for everyone? No. The muttaqeen, those who have taqwa of Allah, those who fear Allah, those who are worried about the Day of Judgment. Only those, the Qur'an will guide them from the misguidance to guidance. Otherwise, against other people, this is the very destruction. The Qur'an. Those who do not fear Allah and do not look for meeting Him, and they believe that they will live in this life, you know, for how many years? They do not pay attention to the hereafter. They do not focus on researching for the truth, confirming that they are upon the true belief system. You know, the things that will make them believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many human beings are uninterested in even discussing religion. And if you were to ask them about their religion, they will know nothing. And you know, just speak to the average Christian from your family members. Speak to the average one of them, wallahi, 99.9% they don't know anything about their religion. They just say, I don't know. I just, you know, I'm just a regular churchgoer, huh? I only go to church on Sunday. You could ask my priest. You could ask my priest. I don't know. See, what do you mean you don't know? What kind of belief is that, man? You know, remember when we were talking with one person, me and the brother here were in a car, we're speaking to one person who's supposedly considered more devoted than others. Yeah, and then we started and said, I don't know. I'm just a little more, you know, I need to learn more. Like, I said, come on, man. You know, we don't buy this stuff. We Muslims don't buy this stuff. You know, you cannot afford to be ignorant about your religion, about your salvation, about what you should believe. I mean, you could be ignorant about anything in this world, except that. Otherwise, you're really not interested. You really don't care. Or you're really not upon certainty. And if you were to search for certainty, you will not find it where you are right now. You will find it with Islam. If you were to search, if someone, any scholar of Christianity, when they study the Bible, they realize at the end of the day, hey man, there's something wrong. There's something very, very wrong over here. And those who accept that and say, ma'alish, I don't want to take off my big heavy cross and my position in the church, and I don't want them to kick me out. So they will wind up purchasing this cheap world for the hereafter. Say, I'll worry about the Day of Judgment when I go to the Day of Judgment. Today I'm in good position, ma'alish. Those who wind up say, okay, I'm not satisfied with this. When they want to search for the truth, where are they going to find it? In Buddhism? In Hinduism? They're not going to find it in Islam. Nowhere else. Nowhere else you will have your answers, your questions answered, your doubts removed, your belief complete, the oneness of Allah consistent, believe in all the messengers, believe in all of the angels, but nowhere else, only in Islam. So really the idea is very clear. Either someone who knows and they do not want to forsake their position in this world, so they leave alone the truth, or someone who is ignorant. And if you were to ask them what they believe, they will not be able to give you something solid. Rather, they will tell you, I think. And this is the most common statement said by a Christian. Well, I think, what I believe is that, you know, blah, blah, blah. So what you believe, where did you get this belief from? Can you give me a verse from the Bible that is an evidence for your position?
There's no proof.
No. I just, you know, that's what I think. Some of them will say, for example, I don't think there's a fire. There's really no hellfire. It's just like those who will be distant from God, you know, they will be punished. So, you know, it's called the fire, but there's really no fire. This is a born-again Christian. So that's very interesting. Now, which church do you follow? So, no, this is not what the church teaches. This is my own position. So, oh, very nice.
Yeah, that's why, because I know that I believe that there is God and I'm doing good and I'm fine.
Yeah. Hey, I'm happy with Jesus. He guides me. You hear the, see, this one to take off the shoe, man. Excuse me, let me see what you know, no, let him bush now. We're not going to bring bush and we'll have a bush. But anyways, you really...
I want to ask you. There's no way for this thing to happen. My first cousin is a Christian.
Mm.
Now, if we will be meeting each other someday, I will point blank tell him, you are a priest, you are supposed to be the exponent of truth. How come you don't recognize the truth?
Mm.
Yes, sir. What's this baloney you're doing?
Sandwiches.
Yes. He is a priest.
Yeah, well then.
One day we will be in peace.
Inshallah, inshallah.
That's why to tell him the you should recognize the truth. You are the exponent of the truth and you should recognize the truth.
If you know him close enough, some people, yeah, if it's a relative of yours and you know you have this relationship, you could tell him, hey man, let's be honest with each other, man. Do you really think you know you're guided right now? You could tell this to, but not anyone. You know, it must be a relative of yours. Otherwise, they may freak out. Yeah, but I was saying that, you know, that you will, back to my point, is that, you know, you will hear some very strange statements from these people that you just don't know how to deal with. You know, it's very unsatisfying when you get someone just telling you, well, I think and I believe and this and that. And you know, so really they make up, that's why one of the old scholars said, if you enter into a house and there are 10 Christians living in this house, you will leave the place with 11 different belief systems. You come in with 10, you will leave with 11. Each one of them in the house will have his own concept of faith, his own pillars of faith, things that he accepts that the church teaches, things that he does not accept which the church that he goes to teaches, and everybody has his own customized way of life, but all of them agree to disbelieve in Allah. All of them agree to say that Allah is three. All of them agree to say that Jesus is divine, to a certain extent. Even if they may claim otherwise in their statements, they have the same pillars of disbelief, but then they vary in the way they disbelieve. And this is why Islam, alhamdulillah, is so clear, so obvious, the truth is so available, so it does not require all this. You would not find a Muslim telling you, well, akhi, what I think is, you know, that there's A or B. You cannot say this as a Muslim. Either you have an evidence or you keep your mouth shut. You don't come and express your opinion. You know, this is not a fiqh issue in matters of faith. We're talking about the pillars of faith. So this is very common among the Christians. And so, you know, equip yourself with knowledge so you can deal with, you know, you want to guide them at the end of the day. We don't want to, yani, defeat them, you know, have an argument with them and show them that they are dumb, because we know already from the beginning that they don't know. The objective of the discussion we have with them is to guide them. You know, so you must learn also the nice, you know, the way of presenting the information to a certain extent. So not only you let them know that what they're upon is falsehood, rather you make them interested in coming over to the truth which you have. So they will become your brothers in faith. And they will also be among those who will be saved from the hellfire. Because we do not want, Muslims don't want people to go to the fire. This is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam strove for 23 years. He was striving to make da'wah to his family members, to his relatives, to the close, to the near, to, he would send letters to the kings, enter into Islam. Because he did not want people to be punished. But if they want to reject, then it's between them and Allah. We have done our position or our job of conveying the message of Islam in its correct form. Then the affair is with Allah. But initially, our goal should be when making da'wah that this person comes over to our side. Not because we are missionaries or we're just trying to win numbers so we could say, wallah, 3,000 people have become Muslims. Who cares about that? The objective of this is that you are taking someone from the darkness to the light. And when the missionaries, the Christian missionaries and their lights, when they are given da'wah, they are taking people into the hellfire. They go into the hellfire and they're inviting the people to go with them into the hellfire. Which is something that is very strange. You know, that the disbeliever will strive to guide people to disbelief. And the Muslims who are supposed to be the ones carrying this flag of guidance are sitting on the sideline. You know, is not sacrificing enough. So we should make some sort of sacrifice for the da'wah, my brothers. Inshallah, each one of us according to his ability with his nearest family members and expanding on forth. Now,
I guess, for example, make da'wah. For example, there's a gathering in the family, some for the anniversary, but your intention is to make da'wah. You can join them, you can keep with them.
No. You cannot join them. Because you cannot get near to Allah through something that is not legislated. So your presence in the anniversary, even if your intention is that. Because they say, I'll give you an example that the scholars give. You're walking by, and you know they got these guys that sell vegetables and fruits on, you know, on their little basket, whatever you call that thing. Someone was walking by, he's seen a person selling apples, he stole an apple. Yeah? And someone was walking behind and he watched him, he seen him steal the apple. This guy walked a little bit further down, he seen him skin, a poor person on the side, he took out the apple and gave it to him. So the person asked him, he said, man, why did you steal this apple over here and then you give it back to this guy? He said, well, stealing is one sin and a good deed is 10 good deeds, so I keep 9. I lose one deed and I make up the 9 over here. He said no, because the Prophet said, "Inna Allah tayyibun wa la yaqbalu illa tayyib." Allah is pure and He does not accept anything unless it is pure. So because of that, you cannot come near to Allah through wrong sins, through sins. That's why you see these rappers today. You know, these rappers who, Muslim rappers, you know, who want to make da'wah through rap, you know. Say, listen, man, you know, you are...
Modern version.
Anyway, he's sitting on the stage, he got his hat sideways, he got tattoos, you know, he's clean shaven, pants baggy, falling on the ground, looking like, you know, 20 halalas or 50 cents, whatever they call that loser. And then he's talking about, you know, Islam is the blah blah blah. Go down and sit down on the stage with the crowd. And this is not how the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ made da'wah. This is not how you make da'wah. Now you cannot do start becoming a singer and say, wallah, through the singing, inshallah, Allah will guide someone to Islam. Out of the million you make, maybe one person will enter into Islam. And Allah knows why. You want to enter into Islam because of a nice song? I mean, do you want to embrace Islam because someone's voice was so beautiful when he said Islam or Subhanallah? So he said, oh, this deen is beautiful, I must become a Muslim. That's not why you become a Muslim, man, because you find the truth, and that's not given in an artistic fashion. It's given through, you know, it's through da'wah, through you know, truth being presented in a suitable way, not otherwise. So, No. Because of that, I will finish soon. So because of that, you cannot do that. Rather, you find an opportunity, you make it up, you invite them. Let the anniversary finish, okay, big gathering. Then when the anniversary is done, on any regular day, no special event, you invite everyone to your house. You make a big event better than their anniversary.
Because the gathering is in other province like this, so all the family are going there. So I agree with you. It's like a reunion.
Is it a religious reunion or what? Just a family? And this may be okay, inshallah. If it is not, yani, if I thought of anniversary, like maybe wedding anniversary, if it's something that is just like a family reunion, then inshallah there should be no harm. As long as it's not associated with a specific day, or yani, if it's not made as a celebration. Yani, they don't have...
Not that exactly.
Yes, exactly. Yani, they may want a day which is convenient for everyone to come together. Inshallah, there'll be no problem.
In the church?
No church, buddy.
What about the Christmas party?
We're not even supposed to say Merry Christmas. By the way, just for you, I know you're coming across the Christmas time right now.
No,
I'm just saying, if so, you know, maybe some of your family members from the Philippines, I will send you an SMS saying Merry Christmas to you and blah blah blah. Or Santa Claus or something. Make sure that you don't reply back with Merry Christmas to you. Okay, because not even saying to you, nothing. You reply, say, how are you in the family? Change the subject. So they will not be offended the fact that you ignored them. But it is not permissible for a Muslim to respond to a Christian or anyone of any religious celebration, because when doing so, it is a form of indirect approval of what they are doing. For example, the teacher put you as a watcher. You know, he told you, I have to go handle some business. I want you to watch over the class. Okay? Make sure nothing is gone from here. And then you see someone walk in. He steals someone's bag and he leaves. On his way out, he says, "All right, have a good night. You too." What do you consider that? Approval. You approve the fact that this person came and stole a bag and left. Good night, same to you. Maybe same to you. What your job is supposed to be? Hold on, man. What you doing, man? Whose bag is this? Why are you taking the bag? So the fact that something happened in your presence and they were trying to get your approval, that this is what we're doing right now, this is what we're doing right now, and I want to share this with you, and you say, okay, same to you, then as if you said, okay, what you are doing is correct. And is that the way? Is what they're doing correct? No way, Jose. Not even in Christianity. Even in the religion of Christianity, Christmas is an innovation. Because it is known beyond that, whether biblically or from the Quran, that Jesus was not born in the winter season. He was not born on the 25th of December, man. This was the birthday of Constantine. Julius Caesar. Excuse me, Caesar. Go look up history. The whole Christmas thing is an innovation. Where they claim to celebrate the birthday of Jesus. But what are you doing today? Celebrating the birthday of God. Hey, Shada, what you mean, man, the birthday of God? When does God have a birthday? Born on the day of the 25th of December, 2000, what? Or the Son of God. Yeah, anyways, the whole thing is nothing but innovation. And as a Muslim, we take pride. Pay attention with me. We take pride in the truth that Allah has given us. So we don't go from the high stage that Allah gave us below someone in order to please them. Because at the end of the day, they will laugh at you. At the end of the day, they will be happy that they were able to have you, Muslim, approve of what they are doing. Although the whole concept of Christmas is gifts. Wallahi, I know this from living with these Christians back in my ignorance days. All they were concerned about is gifts. Yes. I want the gift. I have the whole thing is about your shopping. This person will get me this, and he will get me that, and I will get him this. That's it. If someone didn't get him gifts on the day of Christmas, they will curse and they will scream and they will break the Christmas tree and they will throw the whole thing outside the house. Because it's business, man. It's world. Ain't nobody concerned about Jesus. And even if they were, they would be Muslims. If they really love Jesus, they would be following him as Islam, not by celebrating him on a day which he was not born on. Now,
regarding Christmas, how could my children, they are high school now, and the teacher want them to attend Christmas party? If not, they're going to fail. Not fail, yani.
They will not fail.
They are in the honor. Yani.
They will degrade them.
Yeah, they will not be entering honor.
I understand. Yeah.
So how could they defend my children? They ask me, Baba, how can I maintain my class if I did not attend the Christmas party? I said to them that. Because usually before I told them that if they wanted to attend, if something in the matter of your class will be getting hard to you, so go there and let the teacher show you your presence there, and then ask them to leave. Right away, and explain to them that you are Muslim, that you are not allowed to do that, because it's not in our tradition, or we're not allowed to do celebration like this. And if they allow, leave alone. They said, I try my best, Papa, but I don't think so.
Yeah, and this may be a solution. And let's say that doesn't work. Assuming that doesn't work. Let them take him from the honors. Because they will be honored with Allah. And you will be honored with Allah, they will be honored with Allah, Allah will... Listen, man, sometimes a person will... How many people we see today with diplomas and degrees, and they don't have a job. They don't have a job to work. So the idea is, this is a matter of sustenance, is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll be teaching your children a lesson of depending on Allah. That regardless of what the result will be in school, at the end of the day it is Allah who gives you the job, and otherwise Allah who gives you sustenance and otherwise. So depend on Allah and sustenance, not on your grade cards, whether they are A or A plus or B. You make it up next year, they will manage. Even if that they wind up not getting, they decrease their grade, because of them not attending, let it be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it up for them. Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned in one of the chapters of a book called The Benefits about being on the side of Allah and His Messenger. He said, if Allah and His Messenger is on one side, never ever be on the other side. Because this is what contending means. When you have a boxing match, there's one side here and the other side here. Never be on the other side of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather always be, even if all of the human beings are on the side of the people and you're the only one on the side of Allah and His Messenger, do that. Sooner or later, Allah will show you the benefit. Hi Allah Dikhtar, Assalamu alaikum. Allah will show you the benefit of this choice. Sooner or later, Allah will show you the benefit of this choice. Na'am, inshallah. So we will continue, inshallah, next time. Salam, subhanakallah, wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allah yusallimak.